Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber of the New York Stock Exchange. Equities are rallying all around the world as China injects another $57 billion in market liquidity, offers some reassuring comments on the coronavirus impact. Tesla's parabolic action continues today. Europe's up about 1.5%. The 10-year is getting close to 1.6%, and oil is rebounding after closing in a bear market on Monday. Our roadmap begins with the recovery rally. Stocks are set to open sharply higher as virus fears abate. China set to take additional steps to stabilize the economy.
Plus, Tesla shares skyrocketing, jumping another 15% this morning. They're up more than 100% this year. But of course, the question is, this meteor going to come back down to Earth?
And the winner in Iowa is, oh man, it's on to New Hampshire a week from today as Democratic candidates remain in the dark about the timing of the Iowa caucus results. We'll start with the markets. A stock set to extend yesterday's rally in a big way despite these concerns about the coronavirus. Dow's on track to erase its year-to-date losses at the open, Jim. China says unlikely to affect their phase one commitments. WHO says there's no evidence of mutation and that you do need close contact to contract it.
Well, I do think that this is an unprecedented amount of money that China's injected. I mean, this is just the most fierce intervention I've come across. But I think, you know, yesterday the CDC had a press conference, and it was a very good press conference. It was, you know, they said a lot of things about how it's a public health matter now in our country, not really a medical matter, because we've slowed it down. I think they were also gleeful in the, without saying it, that the president said no more to people coming from China so that he could get their arms around it. And the press conference left you hope that, look, they do have a test. You had a feeling last Friday that they didn't have a test. And that if you treat the people with the pneumonia with fluids, they're living. So, yeah, I mean, there were some good signs. By the way, on CDC, they said that China's a disaster. They did not give you any hope about China.
Right. So if our market is reflecting optimism about the fact that, A, it won't move quickly here.
Yes.
B, we'd be able to contain it. And C, we'd all be able to survive even if we got it. Great. All good.
Yeah.
The second largest economy in the world is shut down.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a percent. This is what's interesting to me. I had thought that it would matter, that I believe there's going to be a percent decline in the GDP of China. I did not think that we could go to all-time highs.
The market at this point, you believe, is overlooking or willing to accept that decline with the idea that it will just bounce back once and if, hopefully, the virus is contained.
That's what the market's saying. I don't know. When you shave a percentage of GDP and you think that the thing's going to be done in April, that to me is, you're a little bullish. I mean, geez, that's a kind of...
It's kind of like what Al Arian said on our air yesterday. The market believes liquidity can decouple us from fundamentals for a very long time.
The amount of liquidity that China's putting in the system is insane.
I mean, they're lifting equity ownership caps for insurers. They're pulling out all the stops.
Yes. Every stop to make themselves look like, you know what? It's business as usual. And it's impacting our market. I saw how much they were injecting
business
again.
Business as usual. I mean, they've closed Macau for 2 weeks.
I know.
Six times the revenue of Las Vegas, just to put it in some perspective.
But Royal Caribbean reported people love it because it just wasn't as bad as we thought. Walt Disney, everyone's talking about Disney Plus, not talking about the theme park.
Right. And now Apple says they're going to resume production
February
10.
I thought that was incredible.
Full China production back on the 10th.
You know, they were on Friday saying, you know, over the weekend, you got the email from Apple saying, okay, look, guys, we're shutting down. And then we got, wow, we're back. So I think that there's, what the heck happened that they could cordon this thing off? There isn't any sign in the world that says they've cordoned it to this one city. But people are... the mask.
You can argue either way the market reacts, that it's overreacting or underreacting. Right. Who knows? Because
but
we don't have the answers.
Do you think it should go to all-time highs when a week ago the GDP growth for China was a lot more than we thought?
I think you already mentioned it. I mean, liquidity in China, what about it here, too? It doesn't appear anybody... I mean, we'll move on to Tesla in a moment. Nobody sells Tesla, I guess, because there's nothing else to buy.
Yes,
what else do you do with your money?
Those are buy-ins. because you see the buy, you see people, that means the brokers are saying, listen, I got to cover your short. I'm sorry. Right at the opening. And then, look, let's just, if, does anyone, I don't know if you guys feel like that there was a bit of a collapse in the Democratic Party last night, but if people hate him or like him, Trump is good for the stock market. And I don't know if you guys stayed up to get the results like I did for the caucus. That was a Pyrrhic thing.
Yeah, I guess we're still waiting.
Well, did you wait last night?
No.
You said, like, look, why not? You just think, you know.
Well, you wake me when, yeah, later.
Well, they, I mean, Super Tuesday will
did
stay
they collapse? They collapse like the Niners.
Yeah, and New Hampshire, as we said, is a week from today. Jim and David, Jim and David mentioned Tesla. There's no stopping this name. Does hit 900 in the pre-market today. Earlier on Squawk, Ron Barron talked to the guys about how he sees it at $1 trillion in revenue in 10 years.
Tesla is going to do somewhere around $32 billion in revenues. And I guess that they're going to do $100 billion in revenues within 4 years. And I think they have potential for $1 trillion of revenues within 10 years. So basically, you're looking at the very start of what Tesla, what's going to happen with Tesla. This could be one of the largest companies in the whole world.
All right. So at $1 trillion, it's essentially the GM, Ford, Chrysler, Daimler currently do $600 billion.
Right.
So you'd be talking 40% more than that, and they're 2% of the way there.
Well, I think you have to, you take him with a grain of salt, but, you know, he's been saying for a long time this thing's going to split upwards. So I think it's just a grain of salt, no longer a box of worms.
He's been right. He takes big positions long term.
Right.
He's almost like a private equity fund.
Right, but
the luxury of long-term capital.
I keep going back to that conference call, which was a really joyous conference call, where he's making a joke about April having battery day. What is he going to unleash on battery day?
But I mean, when you talk about the potential for $1 trillion in revenues in a decade,
it's a lot.
Now, you're obviously not just talking about selling cars. You're talking about autonomous robot fleets of taxis. You're talking about battery technology that's advancing in ways that we can't even imagine.
How do you have
talking about solar roofs? I guess I don't know. You're talking about what else? What else they got?
Space.
Yeah, space. It'll be part of it. Maybe the thing will take off and go to space.
Versus Musk.
It'll have SpaceX rockets on it.
But don't you think that when you listen to that, that fossil fuels won't do as well?
Yes, I don't think fossil fuels will do as well.
Right. Well, that matters.
Without a doubt, it matters.
Are you carbon negative like I am?
I try to be.
How are you measuring your carbon output?
Because I used to leave every single light on and I never cared. Now my wife goes around and turns them off.
We planted a million trees in our apartment.
David?
So we're doing well.
David, I planted 400 olive trees. I am the most neutral guy you're ever going to come across.
That's wonderful. Doesn't it use carbon when you make the olive oil or no? Do you do it with your feet?
We use it with old-fashioned press.
I see.
No, we don't. We sell it to the commune because we live in a communist. We have a communist. Last vestiges of communism in Italy.
I am carbon negative.
I planted more trees than you will ever plant in your life in the last 2 years.
I'd like to see those trees, actually. I'm trying.
They're nice trees.
Carl's seen my carbon negative
schedule.
Carl's seen how carbon negative I am.
Guys, as for Tesla, you and your carbon, New Street does downgrade to neutral. Now, New Street long been the biggest bulls on the street with street high targets. He now says he's keeping the 800 target unchanged. But he does say that a lot of this is built in.
It's just that, look, David mentioned that Barron's like private equity. I think that there are a lot of funds in this thing that are like private equity. And that just means they're not going to sell.
They're not, right. There's no sellers. There's obviously incremental buyers. But there's been no fundamental news that's changed the profile of this company in the last couple of weeks.
I disagree.
While it's gone up 40%.
If you build a factory in 10 months in China, you can build a factory in 9 months in Germany.
In Berlin.
Right.
Even though they say it's going to take longer there.
It won't. I don't think so. Okay. Right in the heart of BMW. Right in the kisser of Benz?
You think it's just them proving the critics wrong over and over
Beamer,
again?
Beamer, Benz, and Tesla's going to pass it. Okay. I think that's meaningful. Plus, they're going to make a lot more money this year than we thought.
True.
And
it's true.
If you wanted to know, you know, they
I
said,
guess I'm saying since earned, since we heard from
no, earnings. Since you're earned, but this battery, everyone's wondering about what National Battery Day is going to be like. I bet you it's on the same day as Arbor Day.
National Battery Day.
What's the matter? It's National Battery Day. I don't mean like Duracell.
No, I understand. I understand. Right.
How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to hook myself up to a battery.
You're just going to give yourself an electrical shock?
Yeah. I don't know.
Jim, David, let's move on.
Let's just put a cap on Tesla now. All right, so what...
No, you can't!
What do you do?
I think you're fine. I mean, I've been saying it's got to be worth twice GM and Ford together. I'll reevaluate when it gets to that. It's certainly kind of... I'll reevaluate when it gets to that.
You want to see twice GM
and Ford. Add GM and Ford up. When people started to talk about it's almost worth more than GM Ford, I said, I'll feel like it's toppish when GM and Ford together.
It traded $1.3 billion of stock this morning. We're 20 minutes from the open.
Well, that's because people are shorted.
$1.3 billion is already traded.
David, why don't you get with the hedge funds that are shorted and let me see how they're doing.
No, I know how they're doing. We all know how they're doing, yeah.
Why, have their lungs ripped out?
Yeah, they're getting completely crushed. Many of them, I think, have already covered, though.
By force? This is an amazing thing.
They shorted it again. They're like, this can't be true.
Oh, they can't short it. You shouldn't short it. The sellers are... We've not gotten to the level where there's natural sellership.
There's still 25 million shorts out.
Oh, no. My.
25 million shares are short.
What's their game plan? They better cover by National Battery Day.
We're going to watch it. We'll talk to New Street later in the show, along with Adam Jonas of Tesla, who famously had his bear case at 10.
Yeah. He's the lost Jonas brother. Did you know that?
And we're going to talk a lot about Alphabet. Let's just make sure people know we're going to talk about those Alphabet numbers.
Alphabet's real. Alphabet's real.
It's important.
It's spectacular. It's real.
They gave us cloud, and the market disagrees with that.
The market's clowns. That was an unbelievably good. They basically gave Ruth Porat, congratulations. They basically gave you a roadmap that says, listen, cloud is going to be gigantic. YouTube's going to be gigantic.
And
you
won't just. Below what anybody estimated. YouTube numbers and cloud numbers were below, and even the growth rates were below what people had estimated.
But, David, they just started. Thomas Kurian has just started his magic at cloud. They just started charging for YouTube. I didn't sense that other bets are going to kill him.
Ad revenue was a miss. CapEx was way below expectations. As David said, people were talking 20s on YouTube.
Yes.
Not 15s.
And up 36% is less than people anticipated. I mean, Facebook, which is, I don't even know how many times larger on an ad basis, was up 26%. Even Azure's growing faster. Azure's growing faster than their cloud.
Well, so IBM is growing faster than their cloud. Okay, listen to me and listen good, okay? Do you remember when Amazon broke out Amazon Web Services and you said to me, Jim, this breakout is everything? We didn't say the latter. But I think they broke it out so you have a path. And suddenly you don't have to just look at that depressing search number. So I think breaking it out is the beginning of the move. The stock, I remind you, was up 80 points yesterday, got ahead of itself. But every single analyst raised price target. Fang is out. We have to put its FAMIG.
The core business is larger than we thought as a percentage of the whole, and it's not growing as fast as people thought.
Just you wait. Cloud is just in its infancy.
Okay, I believe
Thomas Kurian is taking the world by storm. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, it's a big shift in the Google narrative.
We have to get Kurian on.
We'll talk about it more.
Has anyone been able to get Thomas Kurian on? Not yet.
I think you're working on that.
I'm working on it.
We didn't get to.
Who did?
John Ford had him on.
All right, I'm sorry.
As Jim said, it is a rough start to the Democratic primary season. We're awaiting the results from last night's caucuses in Iowa. Kayla Tausche is in Des Moines this morning with the latest. Good morning, Kayla.
Good morning, Carl. It's 12 hours after we were expecting the first results to trickle in from last night's caucuses. Still 0% official results after a technical glitch in a new app that was supposed to securely and quickly transmit the results from 1,700 caucus sites so that we could digest them and analyze them even more quickly than possible. Of course, that is not the case now. The Iowa Democratic Party says that the results will be out later today after they're going through the paper trail, double and triple checking that. But the frustration among these campaigns is palpable. Both the Sanders campaign and the Buttigieg campaign releasing their own internal data to essentially claim victory. Of course, it's impartial, it's imperfect data, but every candidate without a clear winner or a clear loser here is trying to claim the victory for themselves. The Biden campaign, which saw low turnout in some of the big city caucus sites, fired a missive to the Democratic Party, lamenting acute failure statewide and demanding to see the results before they're out. But while these campaigns are hand-wringing even as they're on the way to New Hampshire, the Democratic voters here in Iowa last night were clear in their priorities. They wanted to back a candidate who could beat President Trump. 61% of caucus goers felt that way. That's compared to 37% of caucus goers who are voting on issues, according to an entrance poll that was conducted by NBC News. We should also note, though, there was a Republican caucus here in Iowa last night. President Trump got 97% support. Carl?
Kayla, a lot of obits being written about the caucuses in general today. We'll see what New Hampshire brings in a week. Our Kayla Tausche. We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell this morning. As we said, a lot of news to get to, including Royal Caribbean, Clorox, Cummins, Ralph Lauren, and more when we come back. Futures are on fire. Back in a minute.
Welcome back. Let's get to a Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell. 12 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Ralph Lauren, constant currency revenue gains in the quarter, Jim, of 2%. Why is that such a good
comps
thing?
In America, 4. That's a very good number.
Okay.
We're talking about elevated brands. David, one of the knocks of this company, this is rather amazing, is that they never have enough China. Well, guess what? You know what? They don't have much China. And they've reduced their... they used to make much more in China. Now they're down to 20%. Here's what I think is happening. They have an elevated brand strategy, and they have a way to reach people who want that. It's Instagram, and it's a very successful campaign on Snap. I keep hearing good campaign Snap, good campaign Snap. I think Snap could be really good here. But this is just a blocking and tackling turnaround by Patrice LeVay. And when I go over the numbers, what I say is they've been able to put through price increases on elevated brands. Very few people have been able to do price increases. They are seeing, I would say, just a consistent pattern of in that key holiday season of doing business day by day. They are, let's just put it as it is. David, they're the only guy I know that really had good numbers. I would say exceptional numbers for the holiday. And that is just hard to do. So this elevated brand strategy may be the right one. I feel like personally that maybe you got to check this stuff out again. I wore Purple Label and Black Label for a while.
Right.
And I don't know. Time to go back.
All right.
The campaigns are good. You should check the campaigns out.
I will. Adjusted operating income of $246 million.
That's really good. Remember,
that's when you adjust for $21 million.
Patrice LeVay is doing a really good job. And this is what it's about. He's doing a great job.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on RL and a lot of other stocks, of course. We are on track for what will be a very strong open, at least if you're long the stock market. Squawk on the Street's right back.
Futures look breathtakingly strong here as equities are rallying all around the world, especially in Europe. You got some good headlines on the virus, relatively speaking, and some liquidity. Opening bells in just about 7 minutes. As a reminder, you can always watch us live on the go on the CNBC app. Do not go away. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just about 4 minutes, as we said. Futures look remarkably strong here as we're getting into some political season. We're waiting for word from the Iowa Democrats. They do say they're going to have results for us now sometime today. Jim, and of course, the State of the Union tonight, where the FT says the president will tout a blue-collar boom.
That's the word, is it? It's just going to be a Reagan-like speech. It's going to be about the triumph of the American working person. Does that work? I don't know. I mean, everybody, there's just a lot of talk among the Democrats I know about how very soon the impeachment will be over and an unfettered, unbound president will be very different from this current president. And so this is just a 24-hour period where I think there's going to be a change in the narrative of the presidency. Hate him or like him, David. Narrative changing.
Still early days in the nominating process.
Well, completely early days since
we can now just sort of forget Iowa. Yeah.
Oh, what a debacle. What a debacle.
Not that that will be the case. And
well, people are recalling 2012.
With the Republicans.
When we thought Romney won, the Iowa Republicans had to go back and said, no, Rick Santorum won. It's just a very strange way to handle politics and elections. By the way, this is all backed up on paper. It's right. More of a, as the Iowa Dems now are now saying, a coding issue.
Well, does it make it so that Bloomberg is the winner? I'm uncomfortable talking politics.
Greg Valliere today does say he's looking like the smartest Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the Super Bowl. He had advertisements, like the baby
tax
peanut.
Plan. It's pretty, his tax plan is pretty
what, $5 trillion?
Fairly draconian in some
five
areas.
Trillion.
Cap gains and, yeah.
Yep. You know, I talked to a bunch of business people this weekend when I was at the Super Bowl. They're still talking about salt. They're talking about the exodus, maybe because the Super Bowl is in Florida. The exodus continues among wealthy people.
It's incredible. Wealthy people, it's all anecdotal, of course, but
I don't
can tell
know if
you,
it's anecdotal anymore.
We can measure it.
Right.
But I hear about it over and over again. This fund manager, that one, this one. And they are all, of course, as you'd expect, wealthy people. Now, some people leave in part because also you're dealing with end-of-life taxes, right?
Right.
So, which are a far, far lower, don't exist in Florida. You're dealing with that here. But it is also going to the lack of the SALT deduction. It was a killer. Governor Cuomo of New York knows that. There's a $6 billion budget deficit in the state of New York. And it's an ongoing question. But right. Bloomberg not getting rid of that cap.
No.
Biden's plan would.
Biden looked like I thought he was coming in like with 11%, but then I realized that the numbers are meaningless. If you go back and do the companies that reported this morning, that's certainly bullish. There's not many that are negative. You know, NXP reported last night, and they had some numbers that were really good for mobile, not that good for auto, not very good industrial. Cummins reported a number that's a beat, and they gave you a negative guidance, but people are focused on the beat. Royal Caribbean, like I said, I mean, people felt that was going to be a disaster. That was really good. So you're really kind of looking, if you're looking for something that's bad in earnings, it's hard to find.
Certainly the case today. We'll get to some of those names in more detail. Let's get the opening bell here and the S&P 500 to the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board, it's Jacobs, an international technical professional services firm, celebrating its 30th listing anniversary. At the NASDAQ, it is Reynolds Consumer, celebrating its recent IPO, raising more than $1 billion, Jim. Consumer names are in favor.
Well,
at least they were yesterday.
Consumer names are in favor. And one of the ones that I would tell you, I had felt that I was worried. My travel trust owns Clorox. I felt that there was a chance that people wouldn't like it because they did not have great organic growth. But, you know, people saying that's okay, too. Colgate keeps going higher. If we could just talk about the number of the earnings in the last few yesterday and today, there are no misses.
Oh, Alphabet was not a good number.
I gave you the correct narrative about what's going to happen.
You did you?
Yes, I did.
So we're not going with that we're missing earnings beats or missing the five-year average. We're going to pretend that's not happening.
No, I mean, it's this week's are very good. All right, I'm going to give you Alphabet. Okay, I'll give you that for the moment.
It did miss expectations.
And for the moment, I'm giving it
what
to
they
you.
Broke out, which many investors are quite happy about, and including the sell side analysts who follow the company,
well,
are always looking to be able to refine
their models. They can get their model.
They're happier now because they know YouTube and they know the growth rate there, even though the revenue number was lower. They know cloud, even though the revenue number was lower than perhaps been anticipated. They know the growth rate, so they're happy about that.
Yeah, they love that. They
but
just want to be.
The numbers were not.
Why don't you just wait? See, Ralph Lauren up 11.
Okay.
11 points for a company that has a 4% comp, because that's far better than a lot of the other comps. And that is an important statistic because it says you can get it right. The consumer's not dead. Consumer is alive. It's alive.
Alive. So would you rather, two names today, Clorox or Cummins? Which one do you take?
Clorox, because Clorox makes wipes and Cummins makes capital goods. And I'd rather.
You're not buying the cyclical
No,
story?
I don't. It's not just because I didn't see a single Caterpillar make one of their cranes. But no, I just find that I don't want to be levered to that's the GDP going down is Cummins. And Clorox is Clorox kills everything. It's never when I was a homicide reporter and murder reporter and death reporter, I covered a train wreck of chlorine gas.
Ooh.
And if you went through it with your car, you died. and you died instantly. And Clorox kills everything and everyone. Clorox didn't make that. That was chlorine going
chlorine
in white,
does,
white
not
paper.
Clorox.
No, no, but Clorox, if you wipe, David.
Yes.
I don't know what you use to wipe.
Yeah.
I use Clorox to wipe.
Well, we use those things right here, the bleach things.
I don't know. I carry them everywhere.
We're all going to become, you know, but we're going to be too sterile. Aren't you supposed to have some microbes on your skin to be able to?
Why do you just contrary to everything I say?
I try to be. Sometimes I agree with you, but it's rare.
Do you carry wipes around?
No.
Do you have a mask?
No.
Do you have surgical gloves?
No, but I do have glove gloves.
I'm not getting near him. I've got all three. I've got everything. And because I was traveling, and I just, you know, if a person's sneezing next to me, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not going to be.
Listen, a man of your age, a strong wind could take you out.
God.
You know? So I get it.
Well, assuming Jim survives.
Jack Benny?
I'm here for you, Pops.
If Jim lives long enough, he'll see what happens to Tesla at the end of the day. It's now 420, funding secured times two.
Wow. Ron Barron, 420, isn't that his number?
Ron Barron actually had an interesting take on the unit economics and sort of backing up what Jonas eventually said, which is Porsche-like margins in China. That they've learned how to squeeze more profit out of a given car over there.
Look, that factory, I keep coming back to that. It would take 18 months for a conventional company to make that factory, and the yield initially wouldn't be that good. It's good.
He pushes people hard.
He does.
He does.
I remember when we felt the people were working for him, they thought there was something matter with the company. No, he just makes you, he works you to death.
Yeah, he works people very hard. I mean,
he
I heard that from the companies we don't talk about, some of his private efforts as well. It doesn't matter across the board, SpaceX, Neuralink.
Singing? His songwriting?
No, he pushes everybody who works at his organizations very hard.
No, he does. I don't want to work for him.
He pushes himself harder than anybody.
Doesn't he?
I would think so.
Yes, he obviously, during that period where it looked like he was having some issues, he was sleeping. The cotton at the office is always negative.
Cot. That's a bad thing to have a cot in the office.
Yeah, to sleep in the office with a cot.
Yeah.
It shows that you're maybe taking it a little too seriously. Versus, say, David Solomon, who spins records.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I've never had an office, so I haven't had to worry about a cot.
As you can see, we've erased, obviously, the sell-off that we've been handling in the last several days. Jim, David mentions casinos, where traffic's off 80%, and visas from the mainland have been cut off. Now, American Today says it's suspending flights to Hong Kong from L.A. and Dallas on a lack of demand, not because of any restriction of any kind.
Well, Wynn is up $2. That's huge in Macau. Las Vegas Sands is up. These are all kind of surreal, isn't it? The airlines, those were very profitable routes. I don't think the airlines are good stocks, but I think that, you know, here's one that's important.
Yeah.
So yesterday we felt that Starbucks was a disaster, right, in the morning. And now Starbucks is up 3 from where it was. Nothing's changed except for the fact we do know that Kevin Johnson has decided that if there's a long line at an HMS in the airport, they'll open a competitor. But otherwise, Starbucks is the same company.
Right. Maybe it's as simple as people sold some stocks and then had the proceeds and realized the 10-year is 1.56.
And they want to get
ahead. Like, what am I going to do?
Well, right. Where are they going to put the money? It's just not viable anywhere else.
So,
but you've got to check the CDC.
Back.
At all times, check that CDC.gov because they've changed their view. They have changed their view, and that's a big change. I was very uncertain and unsettled when Tony Fauci last week was saying negatives. Tony Fauci has been never, he doesn't mince words, but the press conference yesterday was a very positive one. Very positive.
It's such an unknown. I mean,
yeah.
Scott Gottlieb was on with us last night on the special report where he says we are going to see small epidemics, you know, cases, 100 in Phoenix, let's say.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about because I'm listening to a man, Scott Gottlieb, of some note who is saying these things. And I don't think you want to come in 100% wrong. when the day that happens. Could he be wrong? I guess so. CDC moved away from, you know, they were saying, listen, let's clarify, our test does work. When you read the press conference last week, you thought the test didn't work.
Right.
Their test is accurate. That matters. Just they have to keep testing. That's something that they didn't realize.
Shares of our parent company are up about 2% on an upgrade from Moffitt Nathanson. Remember, those shares were kissing 39 right after the company reported earnings. Then the conference call turned things around rather dramatically for Comcast. And you can see it there at the very end of the chart when they talked about losing more subscribers in terms of video subscribers in 2020. First quarter than they had previously, and it aroused concern, frankly, for the entire complex of those who rely on the cable ecosystem for the bulk of their revenues. All of them came down, Fox, Viacom, Discovery, and on and on. But this morning, an upgrade based on multiples saying, you know what, if this thing was a pure play cable company, you'd get a lot more respect,
right.
Held back by NBCU, of course, which we are a part of, and Sky. And that if you just apply the 12 multiple the Charter gets to the cable business at Comcast, you're really looking at the other businesses being valued at something like 3x EBITDA, which does appear to be rather low. That's kind of the best way I could wrap it up, Jim. I don't know if you had any other further
takeaways. No, I just like the fact that they started by saying, over the past few years, we've been labeled Comcast critics, or worse, haters. So for them to put this piece out, I think it's worth a couple of bucks, but Charter Trust does own it. We work for it. But this was a very important piece because, as they say, enough is enough. I want to just point out that when I read their research, Lisa Ellis, too, Nathanson.
Yes.
It's readable. It's actually like they do readable research, and you get to it, and they're telling a story. Mm-hmm. And it's really pretty good. I thought it was meaningful.
Yeah.
Along those industrials you mentioned, Illinois Tool Works gets recommended. That is heavy auto. It's almost as if people decided, you know what, auto's okay. I think that's premature, but who am I?
I don't know. Atlanta Fed is calling for Q1 to be 2.9. And you know what Goldman has said about current conditions and how the next leg is likely to be higher, not lower,
that
in terms of global growth. Yeah.
And that is not in keeping with what people keep telling me about China's growth. But, you know, that can bring the world down.
I think Elon Musk's feeling
what'd
pretty safe on that comp. Remember, it had hit a $100 billion market cap for a period of time, so it had to be an average over a period of time. I'm not quite sure what it was for him to collect. Well, it was another $360 million worth in terms of stock. Now at $157 billion market value, you've got to believe that he's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Solid on that comp.
Yeah.
Which, when they awarded it at the time, it seemed like a dream.
Did it?
Well, didn't it? It was so far above the idea of $100 billion market value, let alone $157 billion, which is now where Tesla shares are.
Jeez, they are so close to being, if you add GM and Ford together and you multiply it by two, they're almost there.
We're almost where?
That Tesla's almost bigger than if you add GM and Ford together.
Yes.
And double them.
And double them.
And double them. Well, they're doing better at Tesla than Ford and GM. It's pretty much the case.
So you're basically looking at it as an industry's going through wholesale change.
Yep.
And the leading, the tip of the spear of that change is,
yeah,
that gives the valuation is reasonable.
Whole countries keep talking about how you can have carbon engines. Whole countries. And so the tide is...
How much has Tesla benefited from what we've been talking about every day? And I don't want today to be different. The movement, the flow of assets into ESG funds. It's an automatic. It's got to be at the top of the list, right? In terms of
Yes. Checking,
all right, I'm investing, or this is taking care of some of my allocation. I don't know if it's a beneficiary at all, but it does seem.
I think it is. It's the way you can, your portfolio can become green.
Right.
You can greenwash. That's a way to put it. Say, listen, I own Tesla.
Yep.
You don't think I'm green? I own Tesla. Well, you own Chevron. Well, I own Tesla.
Or I own,
by the
Beyond,
way, they're still leaving Exxon.
I own Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat counts.
Which has also gone up.
That counts as ESG, Beyond Meat.
I mean, we've known smoking kills you for, what, 60 years?
Yes.
And those stocks still have rich market caps.
That's true.
Right? They haven't gone away.
No, they haven't gone away, but I still think that... their twilight. I mean, I don't want to buy a company whose asset is wasting. that the revenues go down, particularly when it's linked to health. I think Altria has uniquely done a lot of things wrong, too.
That so you do a discounted cash flow model on Chevron or Exxon, take me out 10, 15 years?
Good.
It's not looking good.
Not good. Why would you want something?
Forgetting even the fact that there are assets that are now off limits to investing in.
I just think that that Larry Fink,
of assets.
When Larry Fink said coal, isn't the next thing oil and gas? BP reported, and on my charitable trust, it's the last one. We're trying to sell everything fossil. BP reported a great number and raised the dividend. I said, okay, here it comes. And they quit $3-4, right? No, it'll probably close down. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Japan is putting in 22 new
coal-fired
plants because of the Fukushima nuclear disaster.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Instead of nuclear power plants.
This could be good for our railroads to send that coal over there.
Jim, just want to let you know, Alphabet's no longer a trillion-dollar company.
Oh, geez, you're going to rub it in my face?
There's only three now again.
Oh.
Down to three.
Just you wait.
We're up 390, though, and we're back to 3288. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. 400 points in the Dow. 100 points of that. Two companies, United Health and Apple, doing really well overall for the markets. But this is a very broad rally. Let me just show you the sectors that are moving here. So we have China play, MCHI, really big here. Semiconductors moving. Bank stocks moving. Even energy, heavens, are up today. Utilities, finally, which is the biggest mover year to date, finally on the downside here. We're halfway through the earnings season. Generally good numbers today. Jim was mentioning Clorox earlier. Great numbers. And by the way, very good guidance from Clorox. Cummins beat, but they did talk about the slower global outlook, weaker global outlook. This is a theme of a lot of industrials that we've seen recently. And Cummins has had a fairly rough month overall. Nice to see them on the upside. As I mentioned, halfway through earnings season right now, let's call it haves and haves not. So you've got your mega cap names that have done very well. And they have been seeing Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, seeing their earnings estimates for the first quarter. That's what I'm interested in, the first quarter. Generally been rising from the analysts. That's good news. That's helped keep the indexes up. And then there's a group, the deeper cyclicals, the industrials, materials, energy names. Generally, their numbers have been coming down. So if you take a look, FedEx, maybe a separate issue there, but Black & Decker, GE, Schlumberger, Hess, and the energy group, they've been out. Their numbers generally are coming down. Part of this is coronavirus. Sometimes other issues like FedEx have had broader issues overall. Here. So here's where we stand right now. Again, we're halfway through earnings season for the fourth quarter. We're going to be up for the fourth quarter. That number's been improving a little bit. This number's been coming down. We were almost up 7% a month ago for the first quarter numbers. That's been coming down a little bit more aggressively, and that's largely due to some of the concerns about coronavirus. Coronavirus getting shout-outs from a number of companies today. If you just take a look, Hyundai is halting domestic production in South Korea because of a shortage of parts from China. There's a very specific example. Carlsberg, this is the beer company. China beer sales have been hit as a result of that. Pandora, this is the jewelry company, not the music company. Stores are closing in China, and they've seen a precipitous decline in sales over there. And Swatch just announced that their watch fair in Zurich, which is quite famous, has been canceled as a result. Now, this is not generally good news, but if you look at the stocks, we've got a global rally going on, folks. It's pretty powerful. Only Pandora is to the downside. The other three, you would think this would not be good news for Hyundai, is still trading up. Remember, though, we've had some major, major hits in Asia in the last couple of trades. Weeks. Still an evolving story, this whole coronavirus issue. Guys, back to you.
All right, Bob, thanks. Let's get to the bond pits as well. And Rick Santelli at the CME in Chicago. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. Listen, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you the nuances of the coronavirus. But what I can tell you is that many are afraid to jump in when markets are moving to issues they can't wrap their arms around, that nobody can really wrap their arms around. But based on the way markets are trading yesterday and today, at least from the interest rate complex, look for some higher rates in not only the ones we've seen. Look at a two-day of two-year. Right now, the entire curve is roughly a parallel shift. We're basically up 4 to 5 basis points on all maturities. Maybe they'll differentiate as the day goes on, I would expect. With rates firming, the curve to steepen, meaning long rates should move higher faster. Look at October 1st of 10-year. All the information you need, right there. We did take out that 153 low close from early October. Day before yesterday, we closed at 151, but we didn't quite take out the early September low close, the cycle low close, right around 146. Why is that important? Well, open the chart up back to 2012. We had the spike at 136 in 2012 in July, in July of 2016. Now we have this consolidation, but when you look at it all together, looks like a triple bottom. Treasuries hate triple bottoms. Look for rates to rally, go higher off of this formation, but it's a strange formation and traders aren't going to trust it. Look at Boone's overseas. Minus 40 is the key area on a closing basis. We're hovering right there. The yields in Europe look softer, meaning that they could get more negative, but they have firmed up like all global sovereigns and global stocks have. Finally, there's the dollar index. It definitely had some agita last week. In front of the weekend with the coronavirus, many were nervous, especially with European currency volatility so low, they shifted their longs over there. But not to be this week. As a matter of fact, as it sits now, as you see on this year-to-date chart, we are not far away from the high close of 2020, which is 98.01. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. Got to take a moment here to look at Tesla once again. Session highs 917. 1 month ago, this stock was $436. And you could do the math.
No, it's a phenomenon. You know, a lot of people betting against it, but there's a lot of... This is a classic sign also. Whoever owns this stock is just not willing to part with it. There's just no level where sellers come out. I mean, we used to think at the trading, okay, if this is the level, find me sellers. Are there sellers at 1,000? There's sellers at 1,100? If there's no sellers, the stock goes up, whether it's parabolic or not.
Its market cap is not that far off from Chevron's now. I mean, we were kidding. Well, yesterday, Mike Santoli was writing about it. I think Exxon he was talking about, but it's the same. Chevron, a $203 billion market value, and now Tesla approaching $170 billion.
Yeah, well, which one can be carbon neutral?
Would you like to compare the earnings of those two companies?
David, stop being such a small thinker.
It's incredible.
Is it?
When do you short it?
You don't short a company where all the stock is already, you know, it's the largest short position. Right, it's the largest
short.
That was a mistake. Let's just admit it. It was a mistake.
If it were in the S&P, it would be somewhere in the top 50. But clearly it's not. But your general rule of ringing the register on a 20% gain, any 20%
gain. This one's just a little different. The amount of money he's going to be making if he delivers, it is... it could be insanely profitable. I mean, that's what happened. Insanely profitable. Yes. Okay. Oh, my God, your eyebrows. David, for the podcast people, David just lifted his eyebrows to make fun of me. Okay, podcasters?
I need a gif of that right there, right there. We're up 440, best gain since October, and we're about... less than 40 points away from another S&P all-time high. Don't go away. Dow 30 heat map there. Breadth obviously extremely good, led by some cyclical names like Caterpillar. Dow is up in the top five along with Nike. Tesla, meantime, now a top 40 S&P name if it were in the S&P 500. We're back in a minute. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
Okay, Centene is a company just reported. Look down a couple bucks. It's current turnaround. That's a health maintenance insurance company. And then Jack Arthur at Chipotle reports tonight. And remember, the price of guac went down. Chipotle. You probably had Chipotle.
I have once or twice.
Once or twice. Delicious. We have it every Friday. Love it.
Times.
Love it. Right through the thick and thin. During the worst part of the virus, I was there.
You were Chipotle.
Yeah.
Your 18-month window.
You had a very good call on Chipotle, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's remind
you. Thank you very much.
You really did.
Thank you.
We'll see you at 6.
Yes.
That money.
And tonight?
And tonight. Yes,
tonight?
7 p.m. You got it.
CBC.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.